Welcome to Share Talk, the only podcast where investors come first.
We have Julian Chong, CEO of Bellzone Mining, with us today. Yesterday, the company announced that it was in active dialogue with a number of separate and non-related parties to explore options to maximise the present value of its major assets. Firstly, morning, Julian. How are you?
Good morning, Rob. Very well, thank you.
It's good to hear. Can you give us a bit more details about the RNS that came out yesterday?
I can indeed. The idea, as always, is to keep our shareholders and the general public informed as to what Bellzone is up to. I think many of your listeners will know that since 2014, Bellzone has been looking for direction in its business in terms of how to unlock and monetize the very large value that we know we have in the ground, be it iron ore, which is our main deposit, or the ferronickel project possibility, which is utilizing some part of that deposit. As a result, I think Bellzone has become something of a watch and wait game. I'm delighted, frankly, that we actually have something that we can tell everybody is a concrete development in terms of Bellzone's progress. My previous podcasts will have alluded to the large investments Bellzone has made in Guinea over so many years. And one of the legacies of that large investment, which is over $250 million, is that we have built some good infrastructure assets, which we are now increasingly closer to be able to monetize. And principal among these is our port, Contaport, which belongs to Bellzone. It is a very rare asset in terms of port infrastructure and has a good size bulk capacity of 4 million tons per annum, expandable to 10 million tons per annum. And whereas Guinea was also, like Bellzone, in a more passive situation in the last couple of years, we have seen in the last 12 months or so a very marked increase in investments and in potential investments, mostly from China as well as from the multilateral corporations, IMF and World Bank, which have meant that there is suddenly a much increased demand for both imports of material, building material and so forth for infrastructure, as well as thinking about how to export more of what Guinea has, primarily bauxite in the short to medium term, and eventually iron ore in the medium to longer term. So Bellzone being in possession of a port that is up and running, has worked before, is clearly always going to be interesting when the overall macro situation picks up. And there it is, indeed, that's what's happening. We have received certain inquiries previously, but I'm pleased to say that we've now entered into serious conversations, and that asset is certainly of interest to the parties we're talking to. Secondly, your listeners will also know we are in the second stage and final stage of our ferronickel feasibility study. Clearly, we're confident about the prospects, and clearly nickel has become a lot more interesting in the last 12 months or so, given the increase in demand for electric vehicles, the higher proportions of nickel being used in batteries, and the overall drawdown on worldwide inventories. So unsurprisingly, we have seen stronger interest among certain strategic parties. We have started some conversations as well with respect to see how we might get that a project up and running, financed, whether that be in the form of equity or debt. But I think that's very good news, because it's always good to get the financing framework sorted out as early as possible, so that production can begin without delay. So we're modestly optimistic on that front. And lastly, the iron ore deposit, which we have had and is well understood by your listeners, has always been seen as a medium-term asset. However, quite surprisingly to myself, there has been also some active interest among, and I would say this is probably among the biggest strategic players and financial players, who see that timing may be opportune with respect to having some exposure to a world-class iron ore deposit like Belzone has. And so we also have some real discussions regarding options around iron ore as well. So on that basis, we thought it made sense to issue an RNS to keep the public informed that, in fact, Belzone has quite quickly transitioned from a wait-and-see sort of story into one where the present value of our assets have a very real chance of being monetized. Having said that, the general caveat, as your listeners will be aware, is that all discussions are, frankly, in the exploratory stage. If we have anything definitive in terms of a proposal, we will certainly make further announcements, and there is no certainty that any transactions will end up happening. But I'm very pleased indeed that all the previous macro factors that I talked about in my previous conversations are now starting to crystallize into more concrete discussions.
Okay. I mean, given the reaction yesterday with the RNS and the discussions that you're now having, does this change the picture for the major shareholders?
Yes, it's interesting you mentioned this. Clearly, we can't speak to how market forces work, and different people do have different perceptions of the same situation. I think it's important to put everything in perspective. Our major shareholder is clearly a financial investor. They stepped in when the company had no other financing options in 2014 by first becoming the major shareholder and then extending almost $20 million in loans to us and becoming our sole creditor, a long-term creditor. And, you know, they, like everybody else, would love to see Belzone maximize its value, not least because that would enable the equity value of their shareholding to increase dramatically. But also, we would then hopefully, if we generate more immediate cash flows, be able to start repaying the loans that we have outstanding with them. So I would think that if I were the major shareholder, and I've had no conversations with the major shareholder recently, to be honest, I would be more than pleased that Belzone is, as I said, no longer solely a wait-and-see story, but much more, much closer, shall I say, to actual monetization of certain assets that we have, and bringing forward the horizon in terms of what to expect from their investment. So we have always had cordial relations with our major shareholder. As I say, they have stepped in and saved the company previously. They have every reason to continue to be supportive. And you will have seen earlier this year that they have further extended the availability of their third loan to us of 3.2 million up to the end of next year. That's always very handy to have in our back pocket. And they have extended also the repayment date of all our loans plus interest until the end of next year as well, to give everybody more breathing room and to clear any potential overhang concerns in the market. So I would say no. The simple answer is the major shareholder is clearly as supportive as it has always been. As far as I'm concerned, and I have no reason to believe that they've changed any thinking. But as you can imagine, Rob, it's incumbent upon management and the board to do everything in its power, not just to sit on our laurels and wait for things to happen, but to really go out there and try and make things increase in value and become more real as quickly as possible.
Absolutely. Just a question about the timing. Why were you making this announcement now, the RNS?
Well, good question, Rob. We have a policy at Bellzone, which I think your listeners will become familiar with, of trying to be as timely as possible, not just to comply with regulatory requirements, but because we truly believe that we should update our shareholders at the earliest possible opportunities whenever we think the events are significant. And this, I believe, the confluence of discussions that we've been having make it quite obvious to us that we're actually seeing a real shift, not just a theoretical shift or a macro shift in Guinea and global market forces, but we're actually seeing a real shift in terms of what Bellzone's present value proposition actually is. And I think for shareholders and potential shareholders, this is very important, because investing in a sort of a more speculative, longer-term story is very different from investing in a company with real value, and a real possibility of realizing that value earlier rather than later.
Great. Okay, well, thank you for taking the time, Julian, to bring us up to speed with that RNS yesterday. And I'm sure, obviously, you'll keep us informed of the conversations, discussions that you're having. So we look forward to hearing again soon.
Thank you, Rob. We shall be updating the market as soon as we have any news one way or the other.
Brilliant. Thanks, Julian.
Thank you, Rob.
Thank you for listening. Remember to visit our website for more news and other podcasts at www.share-talk.com.